All Things Loss for Christ's Sake, 1896. We are now living upon the borders of the eternal world, and is this a time for vain thoughts and selfish actions? The angels of heaven are looking upon us. They are in every meeting and are weighing and measuring the moral worth of the worshippers. The characters of those who profess to be the children of God are tested in the golden scales of the heavenly sanctuary. The exact measurement of every soul is known and recorded in the books of heaven. How shall we stand the scrutiny of heaven? Only by having in and upon us the righteousness of Christ. Then what think ye of Christ? Is he the bread of life to your soul? Is he the water of life? Is your soul humbled and abased as you contemplate your spiritual poverty and nakedness? Then Jesus is made of God unto you wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. By contemplation of his glory, the brightness and attraction of every other interest will grow dim, and with humble confidence you may point to him and say, "This is he whom my soul loveth." With overflowing love and gratitude you may exclaim, "This is he who gave his own life that I might not perish, but have eternal life." You may plead with God, saying, "Holy Father, look not upon me, but upon Christ my righteousness. Look not upon me, but upon the face of thine anointed." Oh, that every professed follower of Christ might know what it is to have the precious revealings of the Holy Spirit, that the soul might be filled with enlarged and ever-expanding views of the purity, goodness, and mercy of our sin-pardoning Savior. Were the mind educated and trained to behold Jesus until he was the subject of your thoughts, the theme of your conversation, then would the frivolous lives you have been leading appear to you as they are, empty and void and unsatisfactory. Let the mind be filled with Christ and refined by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you will not then need to be urged to consider your obligation to those who sit in the darkness. When you yourselves appreciate the precious Word of God, when it is opened to your understanding, you will be stirred to intense interest for the souls of those for whom Christ has died. You will be willing to endure hardness, to be self-denying, and will do your utmost not only by giving gifts and offerings to the Lord, but by giving yourselves to the work, that you may impart the light of the knowledge of the truth to those who are bound in error and darkness. It is the great privilege of every soul to deny self for Christ's sake, not simply on some special occasion, but to deny self daily for the advancement of the work of God in the earth. How much have you sought to render back to God for the gift of precious light he has bestowed upon you that your soul may be saved? Have you rendered back to him talents of money, influence, and ability? If the truth that has been brought to you does not seem sufficient value to move your soul to sincere gratitude, to diligent effort for others, to fervent love for Jesus manifested in offerings of what you can give for the advancement of his cause, then you have not that love of the truth, that depth of experience which will enable you to be overcomers in the daily trials and temptations of life. No one can live unto himself alone. Everyone has an influence for good or evil, and the character of that influence is determined by the thoughts and actions of men. He who is truly converted to God will make the fact manifest by living for God, and he will do his utmost to advance the work of God in the earth. But what need there is of an earnest, prayerful, self-denying spirit? The truth cannot advance in these colonies and souls be won for Christ unless those who profess to believe it shall arouse to greater diligence than ever before. The heavenly intelligences wait for cooperation of the human agents, that great things may be done in spreading abroad the knowledge and light of the truth. Why not make earnest efforts to arouse from your sluggish indifference and work for the Lord as his agents should? The reason why so many are in a dying spiritual condition is that their talents are unimproved and opportunities are wasted. You have not done what you could to give the light which God has given you to others. And should the Master come now, you would assuredly meet the fate of the slothful, unfaithful servant.
Let the older brethren and sisters set a worthy example before the youth and children. Do you expect the Lord to bless you with light when you do not seek to disseminate it to those who sit in darkness? Do you expect that your love for Jesus will be increased when in this great missionary field you do nothing for the souls for whom he died? When your country was considered in the General Conference in America, most earnest appeals were made that messengers might cross the Pacific and establish the truth in these colonies. And to these appeals, many responded. Some denied themselves greatly in order to raise means to start the work here. And now that the work has grown to the proportions that it has in these lands, will not those who have received light and blessing by the self-denial of others manifest the same spirit and deny self that others may be benefited? Men and means must be found in order to accomplish the great work that must be done in Australia, New Zealand, Tasmania, and the islands of the Pacific. Many who profess the truth in these colonies have need to educate themselves as to what is meant by self-denial and cross-bearing for Christ's sake. Much more, in smaller or larger sums, might flow into the treasury than has flowed in since you have professed to give your hearts to the Lord. You have been made the depositaries of the treasures of the truth, but have not grown in spiritual understanding and power. Many have been careless and indifferent, and have shown a marked want of integrity and uprightness. Like the foolish virgins, you have slumbered and slept. And instead of keeping your vessels filled with the oil of grace, trimmed and burning and brighter, you have allowed them to burn dim and flicker out in darkness. How can you expect the Lord to bless you when you feel no burden resting upon you to keep your souls in the love of God by earnest and diligent use of the talents he has entrusted to you? When you individually, as members of the church, feel that you are called upon to do something every day, to do to the utmost of your ability, the heavenly angels will minister unto you and increase your ability to trade with and increase your talents. I call upon you who profess to have advanced light to sink your empty vessels into the depths of the ocean of the fullness of God's love and draw fully, steadily, continually. Let Christ be in you a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Do you desire spiritual life and health? Then work. Practice self-denial and cross-bearing. Everyone who has joined himself to Christ has duties to perform according to his ability. God has placed upon his followers weighty responsibilities, and just as soon as a soul obeys the call of God, he is to look upon himself as bound to work for Jesus, whether he is young or old, whether he is possessed of 1, 2, or 5 talents. The opinion is prevalent that holidays are days when men and women may cast off every restraint and burden and use the time in pleasure-seeking and festivity. But is not time golden, and should it not be employed in doing good? Not one day should pass into eternity without a record of some good work performed in the name and for the glory of the Master. Christ has opened a fountain of life for the perishing world, and those who have joined themselves to him should unite with all his agents who by voice, influence, and means are seeking to awaken an interest in others by setting before them God's invitations of mercy. All should present to the world the truth as it is in Jesus, that by prayer and tact and wisdom, they may create a desire for the salvation which is in Christ. By their words, by representing Christ in character and life, they should give the invitation of Christ, who is saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11, verse 28. But alas, how much has been done to dishonor God and to deny Christ by cheap talk, by eager chasing after pleasure, by spending money for selfish gratification. Professed Christians have acted as though there was no burden of responsibility resting upon them to enlighten others, no need of self-denial that souls might be saved. But the example of Christ is before us, and nothing should be done to lessen the efficiency of the gospel. God call upon those who profess his name to seek for true conversion. Many are at ease, and they know not what it is to experience true religion. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Let every voice say, "Come." Let every influence and ability be exercised to win souls to the Lord. You cannot be too enthusiastic. You cannot be too much in earnest in seeking to save that which is lost. Not one is excused from the work, though he may be able to do but little. For through the doing of what he has ability to do, he may gain courage and faith and grace to do a larger work.
Instead of learning to work in the way that Christ would have us, many have wasted their time in foolish talking and pursuits. They have lived to please themselves and have not laid up their treasures above. Let not such think that to them will be said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things." Matthew 25, verse 21. The words appropriate to their cases will be, "You have been attentive to self, lived to please and favor and glorify self, and your portion must be with unbelievers. You have chosen to be like them in words and actions. You did not deny self for my sake. You were not obedient to my commandments, and I cannot receive you into my kingdom. You wasted your opportunities and did not value the probationary time I graciously gave you to form characters for eternal life. You did not have respect unto the recompense of reward. You have not loved me who died for you, but have refused to comply with the conditions upon which the heavenly benefit was conferred. You refused to come out from the world and to be separate, and touch not the unclean, although I promised to be a father unto you, and pledged my word that you should be my sons and daughters, members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. You despised my words and cared not for my entreaties. The disposition which led you to do this in probationary time is unchanged, although I declared to you that, as your Redeemer, I was able to save unto the uttermost all that came unto God by me. You did not come, but drew apart from me, and chose other associates, and loved other society. Though I had chosen you, you had not chosen me, and you have made your own choice. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Verses 31-45. Day by day, in the common incidents of life, men are determining their eternal destiny. Eternal reward or punishment is meted out according to that which the human agent has done, or what he has not done. The whole life's tendency, the disposition, and the actions are examined in the courts of heaven to see whether men as probations have formed characters after the pattern given them in Christ Jesus, or after the pattern of the character of him who is the enemy of all righteousness. Everyone is deciding his own destiny.
But behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Malachi 4, verse 1, 2. The sun rises, and beam follows beam of light, and the light expands. Thus is it with the Son of Righteousness. More and more distinctly the believer may discern his mission, his mercy, his love and tender compassion. Christ is admired in all that believe. He is more and more loved, more and more implicitly obeyed, and devotedly served. We behold the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! Behold this wisdom as it shines in the plan of salvation, as God seeks to recover lost man from his degradation and ruin. What a marvel it is that man will choose and cling to delusions! What a wonder that he will be infatuated with things that are passing away, while he neglects the imperishable treasure. Is not Jesus the glory of infinite wisdom? In him all fullness dwells. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Could finite men appreciate what the wisdom of Christ could do for them in molding and elevating their characters, they would exalt Christ as the wisdom of God. Man who is proud in his own wisdom and way must become a fool that he may be wise. His human reasoning and knowledge must be laid beneath the cross of Calvary. His own righteousness must be surrendered. And like Daniel, when he stood before the heavenly messenger and saw his glory, he must exclaim, My comeliness was turned in me into corruption. Daniel 10, verse 8. All in which humanity glories must be counted as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ the Lord.